Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, still so hard to get used to that, gosh, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Dalet. We're still holding in the middle of the issues of speech. And now we've arrived at a place we've been talking about, saying things in a way that are inappropriate. And then there's also a question of saying things that are preferably not said because they are bad news. Now that is also a transition, because you can say things but say them in a way in which the language is careful not to focus on the bad news. So we got up to yesterday Rav Kahana Cholash, and that is on the last of the thinner lines on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So Rav Kahana Cholash, Rav Kahana was ill, Shashadru Rabbanu Rabbi Yeshua Barei Ravini. And they said to him, check out how Rav Kahana is doing. Everybody was very concerned. Zil bedok maidine. When he arrived there, he discovered that Rav Kahana had already been nifter. So kari lelavushe, he tore his clothing, because he was a Talmid. V'ahadre lekari leachore, he turned the tear behind him so that they wouldn't see when he was coming that his clothes were torn. And he was coming along crying, Ubachi Ba'ati. So they said, oh my God, Nach Nafshe, he died? Amlo, I didn't say it. Ana lo kamina. Umotzi diba uksil. As it says in the Pasuk, somebody who gives off bad news is a fool. Let people figure out the bad news themselves. Yochanan Chakuka once went out Lekiryata. So he had gone out, this fellow, one of the Tamir Chachomim, and he went out to see how things were doing out in the fields. Anyway, he comes back in Ki'ata. Amrulo chitim nasu yafot. So, how's the wheat doing? Amalehem, well, the barley's doing good, you know. Sa'orim nasu yafot. I said, thanks a lot. Why don't you go out to the barn and speak to the horses and the donkeys? They'll be very happy to hear the good news that the barley's doing well. That's not good news for us. It says in the Pasuk, Asorim v'atevin l'susim v'lorechesh. I mean, come on, the guy's doing his best to avoid giving you bad news. So what are you upset with him for? What was he supposed to say? My havi leilo neymar. Look, there's other ways of not being insulting. You could say, well, last year the wheat was pretty good. They'd still get the same idea. And you wouldn't be talking to the donkeys, right? Or you could have said, maybe lentils are doing very well. Now, lentils are something that humans are going to eat for their soup and so on. But to say barley, of all things, the animal feed, that we didn't think was so appropriate. Now, here is an interesting case. It's funny, I have this actually in my family, where Rav was the son of Reb Chiya's brother, whose name was Ivu, which sounds like very much like Abba, right? So his name was Ivu, but he was also the son of Reb Chiya's sister, whose name was Imo. So, and these brothers and sisters married each other. Why? Because they were stepbrothers and sisters. They were not related at all. So basically, Reb Chiya's father had a son from a different marriage, and his mother had a daughter from a different marriage, and they married each other, and they had Rav. I had this happen in my family, exactly the same thing. And they married, had a lot of kids, but the marriage didn't survive. Anyway, so what happened was that when Rav comes up to Eretz Yisrael, he made Aliyah, and Reb Chiya hadn't been in touch with his brothers and sister. So Reb Chiya asked Rav, this way Rashi understands it. Tosfos has a different understanding and a different girsa. Rabbi Yochanan has a different girsa. This is a very, very effective and beautiful girsa, and it's Rashi, and it's fine. So Reb Chiya asks Rav, so how's my brother doing? Ivu, is he alive? So Rav says to him, Is Ima alive? I don't understand. Like, only men are important. Women are not important. Aren't you interested in your dear, beloved sister? Okay, says Reb Chiya. So is Ima alive? So Rav said to him, listen, I didn't tell you anything about Ivu yet. You're asking me about Ima. So he got the message that neither of them were alive. And so he says to his Mishamish, Chalotz li min alai, take off my shoes and bring my clothing with you to the bathhouse. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to teach three halachas. Shema mina tla. First of all, we learned Shema mina that avel aser ben yirat hasandal. The first thing that he said was, since I am an avel, because of the loss of my brother and sister. So take off my shoes. She wanted us to understand that there's an iser of ne'ilat sandal. Furthermore, shema mina shmua rechuka enoheget el yom echad. Since he obviously did not stay in the state of avilut for very long, so apparently the din of a shmua rechoka, that once he hears about a death where it's already over 30 days, then even though he has a din of avilut, but that avilut is only for one day. And since he immediately told the shamash to come and to bring my clothes to the bathhouse, it's also clear that miktzat hayom kekulo, just like the din of all avilut, is that the closing of the avilut is the miktzas hayom. Same thing is true over here. Even though the avilut is only one day, it was just the first few moments of the day that gives the din of the avilus. He sat shiva for 2 minutes, and then he went to the Beit HaMerchatz, which normally, of course, is also to the avil, in order to show that miktzas hayom kekulo. Now we have other issues of what we can see through a person's speech. So we spoke about how we can tell the person's character, how we can tell the level of chokhmah, how we can tell the extent of his yichus even. But here we have an interesting idea of the details of yichus in a different sense. And that is that in the same way that a different language is very much koveya, the entire structure of the development of one's brain, mind, and way of looking at the world, since each one of the shvatim of Klal Yisrael is called an am, as Rashi points out, amim ha'yikro, and so on, in various psukim, where the remez is to the actual shvatim. So we find that the person's modality of thought is also an insight into the shevet that he comes from, remarkably. So there was this guy who always used to say, Donu Dini, listen, I'll see you in court, baby. Let's not discuss it. That's the way most understand it, that it's a big chisorin that, you know, you couldn't reach any compromise. He always wants to go to court. But I think the deeper sense and the way that some of them first understand is that this is a mila, and that the person, listen, I'm not interested in, you know, compromises. I don't want something that is in mine. Whatever the din is, that's fine with me. Come check me out, see if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. So that's beautiful. But because of that, they concluded, Shmaminami Dan Kaati. He must come from Shevet Dan, because Shevet Dan, the bracha to Shevet Dan, is Dan Yadin Amo. So Yaakov sees that there's an inyan of a bracha that they are always searching for din, Ke'achat Shivtei Yisrael, and there's Zocheh to din the same way that Sanhedrin is. There was another guy that used to go around all this. This guy was like obsessed with the seashore. So he used to go around saying, you know what? Akif yama asisni birata. If I ever get a chance to build myself a palace, it's only going to be on the seashore. Or the other meaning is Rashi brings, which he says, I like this, is that asisne means a thorn bush in Aramaic. And birata is another way of something, barosh, a slightly different girsa. So on the seashore, even a lowly bush is the equivalent of a cedar tree somewhere else. So he was someone that felt that the very fact that you're near the yam is a whole different life. What do you say, Alon? You think that you also come from Zvulun? So Batku Vashka,
I think you feel this definitely from Zvulun.
So they checked him out. And sure enough, it turned out, you know, that he was from Zvulun. Zvulun lechof yamim yishkon. All right. So anyway, can we get back to the main? Yes. All right. Fine. Let's talk about the Mishnah. Okay. All right. So we finally have come to the conclusion that everybody has agreed that the Mishnah's reference to Or means that Bedikas Chometz is done the night before on the Leil of the 14th. Now, look, I mean, all of the various shitos about how long exactly you're supposed to, before the day is finished, how long before you're supposed to stop eating chametz? We'll see that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but that has to do with how many hours the Rabbanan added to the Yisur D'oraisa. But everybody seems to agree that chametz is only Usur Midiraisa from Sheish Sha'od V'lamala. So, I mean, if the Torah only asked it from midday, then why are we being bodek the night before? couldn't we start being bodic at the beginning of the sixth hour, which would mean that by 6 o'clock, that is to say midday, then you would have gotten rid of your chametz, and then everything would be okay, right? Now, before we go on, let me tell you that there is very, very important machlokas rishonim about what this means, that chametz is aser mishei sha'ot v'lamala. We're going to see later on, it's machlokas in the Gemara, how to darshan the psukim that are nogea the Yom HaRishon. And the question is, are we talking about the psukim that deal with Mitzoy? Mitzoy Yontev or before Yontev? Is there an Isser of Chomet Shavar Lava Pesach or not? But the bottom line is that it's not muskam by everybody how to understand the psukim. Now, the Rambam paskins, and basically the Tur paskins like him in the end, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says that is the way that everybody ultimately, even though there are many shittas against him, including the Baal HaMor, that the din is a diraisa in an isser of achila. And that would mean that even though there's no chiyav of kores on the isser of achilas chametz on Erev Pesach, but there is an isser achila diraisa. We'll talk about this more later on when we get to the sugya in the Gemara, because of which the Rambam also paskins that you would be over on Baal Yera'eh u'Baal Yematzeh. So that would mean that in addition to the mitzvahs aseh, by the way, is Jeff here today? Because I know, okay, not. But there's a mistake in that document. Baal Yera'eh and Baal Yematzeh is not one law. They're two completely separate psukim. We learn out, even though ultimately they're not, each one is megala on the other, but they are two separate lavim. So we will get into them later. So according to the Rambam, there's four separate mitzvahs that are nogea Erev Pesach. One of them is the Isra of Achilas Chametz, which is Chal on Yom HaRishon. The other is Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbitu Se'or Mibatechem, which is the mitzvahs Aseh of getting rid of Chametz. The other is the Baal Yera'eh, and the other is the Baal Yematzeh. However, Rashi over here, by the way, also on this stuff says very clearly that there is an Isra of Baal Yera'eh, Baal Yematzeh, on Erev Pesach. So he obviously also agrees with the Rambam. He says this elsewhere also in Bava Kamma. And there is, in addition to that, that would mean that there's a machlokas, because the Ravid sort of laughs at this. He says, wow, this Bechaber seems to think that there's an Isra Baal Yera'eh Baal Yematzeh on Erev Pesach. But of course that adds up, because the Ravid holds there's no Isra Achila. And if there's no Isra Achila, then there's no Isra Baal Yera'eh Baal Yematzeh either, because we'll see later how they're interrelated. But the Rambam, who holds there is an Isra Achila D'oraisa, would also hold that there's a Baal Yera'eh Baal Yematzeh. Okay. Anyway, once that's true, so then that is going obviously to influence how it is that we're going to be koveya the halacha as far as making certain that there is no chometz in your rishus. So as we said, when we introduced the Masechet, it's clear that the 7 days that are usher mean the complete 7 days, which means anyway, we would have to make sure that we don't have chometz in our rishus before those 7 days begin, no matter how you learn. So what would be the point of making the entire 14th usher? I mean, not usher, but being mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. Because, I mean, tashbisu, l'chora, if I'm going to be mevatel all of the chometz that I know about and that I don't know about and get it physically rid of the chometz I do know about, so, I mean, I'm being oisik at tashbisu from the night before. Why? So, v'chite mezrizi magdimim l'mitzvot. Maybe you'll tell me, well, there's a general idea that when the Torah says to do a mitzvah, we attempt to do it as early as possible with the requisite zrizos, and as we know, Pesach particularly is deeply, deeply involved in Zrizut, in the way that we make the matzos, and the fact that people that are bringing the Korban Pesach are considered to be Bala Chaburah, Zrizimim, and so on. So Zrizus is a big deal. So that in the same way that the mitzvah of Hanukkah would be Kavua in terms of Hadar, which usually is an add-on, right? Because it's up to you to be Mahadar ala mitzvah. Somehow or other, when it comes to Hanukkah, there's something that is innate in Hanukkah that makes us deal with Hidur. The same thing is true of Pesach. Normally, the halacha of Zrizut would never be something that the Chachomim would be koveya for the Zman, with Kovea the Zman, and then the people that are Zrizim get up early and make sure that they're there early for that Zman. But that the Zrizut should be itself a factor in the Kvias of the Zman, which the Gemara entertains now, is a very special idea that appears to belong with Pesach specifically. So maybe you'll tell me that Enoch Inami Chazal were Kovea the Halacha of Zrizus here, an amazing idea. But that's difficult to believe because v'chitem is zrizim akdimim lemitzvos. The mucker that we have in terms of zrizus is that Avram Avinu went out in the morning, but we don't find ever the night before. So then why not nivdok mitzafra? Then do this in the morning. Look, let's say we had the mishra b'yom hashmini imo b'sara lato. So obviously there's no particular time to do a bris milah. How do we know that? So Avram got up in the morning to do the mitzvah. The Pashta says that it's the mitzvah of the Akeda, but he didn't go out the night before. So apparently it's only a halacha starting in the morning of the day. So why would Chazal be koveya it in the other sense? Now, Tosis asks, that's not much of a raya, because you're not allowed to go out at night, because there's a halacha, that Talmud Chacham lo yetze yechidi balayla, and why in the world would he have gone out? So that says Tosis, look, I mean, basically, the posik over here is not yechidi, if it's talking about, because it says that he took along hishnei narav imo, right? So we'll see there's another pasuk in which Avram Avinu was also Yotzei, and that was by Sodom. So it's Vayashkim Avram Baboker, and over there it's not a mitzvah. Over there he was Yechidi, and over there it was Nogea something else. So we're not bringing that pasuk. We're specifically bringing the pasuk that has to do with the Akedah, where he could have gone out before. Anyway, because of this, why did we make a gezerah, a takana that the shir is at night? Therefore, there must be another reason. Omer Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, b'sha'ah shebnei Adam mitzuyim b'vatehem, v'or haner yafeh lebedika. We're going to see later on that there's a remez in the pasuk that we should use a ner. Now, that's something we'll discuss later. Once it's true that we should use a ner, then we want to use that ner at the time that the ner is most effective, and that is in the nighttime. Not to mention the fact that, as we saw earlier, this is a very strange kind of halacha, where the Torah told us that there's a mitzvah about the day, Yom HaRishon, that starts in the middle of the day. Weird. So because of that, Chazal added the overall idea of starting from the nighttime in order that this should be a day in which this mitzvah becomes part, as we pointed out. Look how powerful it works on our psychology. From the Leil B'dikas Chometz, we're already involved in the thinking about Pesach, the mitzvahs of Pesach, and starting to put ourselves into the space of Pesach. Imagine if it wasn't Pesach at all, until all of a sudden we're in the middle of the day of the 14th. So therefore, this is too, is part of the idea, and it's also a logistical wonder, because everybody is home, everybody comes back from work, and there you are in your house that night, we're all getting together to take care of the Chometz. Om Rabbaya. Once that's true, notice now that we see that there's a very special issue to be involved in this at the time when the Ora Ner is Yafel Abedika. So then you can't say, well, I'm busy doing another mitzvah. You know, so I'm at Tzur Ben Mirabona, I'm at Talmud Chacham, I'm in the middle of Seder, I'll come back and do it later, maybe in the morning. No. Because since this is taken into consideration in the Etzem Takona, you should be careful not even to begin your Seder once it's the evening and it's ready for the Zman of Bedikas Chometz, because then Dilma Mashkal Eshmait, so you may not even notice, you're so involved in your learning, and then you're going to miss the whole Iker time of being Bedik Le'or HaNer. So now, I've got a question. This halacha of being koveya that there's a din of bedikas chametz. I mean, there's two ways of understanding this halacha. It could be a halacha of how an individual is meant to deal with his chametz, but it could be a halacha that is koveya a new din. everyone is responsible for checking out chometz in their home on that night. I mean, so what if you're not going to be in that home? Worse, what if you're not even going to be the owner of the home because you've rented it out for Pesach? So now, if it's a din, you see, in everybody's got to deal with their chometz, and the time to deal with the chometz is the night before. Okay, but I mean, that mitzvah, this is not going to be my chometz, so I'm not going to worry about my chometz the night before if it's not going to be my chometz. It's basically going to be in the house, and you know, if the guy wants to get rid of it, fine. If not, it's not his chometz. He doesn't have to be kind of it. We'll let him worry about it. Or is there be'etzem a takana for the act per se? There is a mitzvah of bedikas chometz in your home. You own the home right now? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm giving the guy the keys tomorrow morning. Too late. The mitzvah already was chal. The mitzvah refers to the house. Okay? No, that's my question. Ask Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Somebody who rented out his home and the rental starts on the 14th, okay? So now, who is mechuyev to do the bedikah the night before? Is it supposed to be the maskir? Well, let's call him the balabayit or the landlord, because otherwise in English it's very difficult to be mechalik. So is it the landlord who is chayev to do the bedikah? Because why? Because it's his chometz. And the chiyuv is catalyzed by the fact that if you have chometz, the time to take care of your chometz is the night before. I don't care what's going to be with that chometz later. You say, but I'm going to be getting rid of this chometz. They're going to be bulldozing this. Right now you have chometz. This is the time to worry about your chometz. So then that would mean that the chometz in this house is his. Or might it be, so that would mean it's a din basically in this house that has my chometz. Or do we say, no, wait a minute. The person who is going to be having chometz in his rishos, he's the guy that's got to get rid of that chometz from his rishos. So he should therefore be the one that's responsible. Tashma, let's see. It says in the Braita, Maskepayet l'chaviro, ala socher lasot lo mezuzah. It's the tenant has got to pay for the mezuzah. So that would mean that where you have a halacha that is a chalos on the house, the tenant takes care of the house. Nah, come on. That's because Hasam Amar of Mesharshia, Mezuzah Chovat Hadarhi. That's a given. We learned that out from a pasuk that Beitcha means Biatcha. The guy's going to be walking into the house. There for sure, that mitzvah is a mitzvah on the guy who's living in the house. If you're not going to be living in the house, even if you own a house, you don't have anything in it, so you're not living in it, you're not going to put up a mezuzah. So that can't be a chiyuv on you. But over here, the question is, what's the halacha over here? So were the chachamim koveya it in terms of the idea of it being your chometz, or in fact, is it like the mezuzah? And they were koveya it in terms of whoever's going to be living in the house. Well, it's a brisa. Hamaskir bayit lechaviro. You rented out your house? So it depends when the keys were handed over. Im ad shelo masal lo maftechot chal 14 al hamaskir livdok. If the day of the 14th, meaning the night of the 14th, already began before the keys were handed over, then the mitzvah was already chal on you. So the chalos on you is at that moment. It's your house and it's your chometz. But if you give him the keys before there is the chalos of the mitzvah, so then indeed the fact that it's currently your chometz is irrelevant. And the house, and if he wants the chometz, but even if he doesn't want the chometz, the house that has that chometz in it, the kviyas of that chiyuv, this is your house. It's not a mokum that you're not machlisa b'chometz, because somebody's machlisa b'chometz. So then the tenant has got to be the guy who does the bedika. The question is, what is the function of the giving over of the keys? Now, Rashi says giving over the keys is actually that which is kena. The Ri says that doesn't make sense, because the din of schirut is to be kena in exactly the same way that the din of the actual Kinyan, meaning buying the house, would be. And buying the house is only kesef shtar and chazaka. So where would we come up with the idea of mesirat maftechot? The re suggests that what we're dealing with over here is the question of who has access. That's the point. So the individual who doesn't have access, the Chachamim for sure did not koveya that he's the one that's mechuyev to do the mitzvah. How are you supposed to do the mitzvah? Break into the house? So because of that, the restriction of access is by definition. We leave the chiyev on you who does have the access. So it's a completely different way and a much more logistical sort of prosaic way of looking at the problem. Okay, continues. And this is really very, very nagea, happens very often. And it leads to another question. I mean, when you rent a home for Pesach and you're coming there on the 14th, can you assume that that house is going to be clean of chametz and the guy did the bedikah? Or as soon as you arrive in that house, do you have to do the bedikah? So is cheskato baduk or in cheskato baduk? I understand. Why don't you just ask? ask the guy who rented you the house, right? Is this house baduk or not? No. We're talking about over here, the guy's not around, okay? So now, if the guy's not around, do you, mitzad ha-sofik, are we matriach you on a chiyav derabbanan to do the whole badika, which is really difficult, mitzad ha-sofik, that maybe the guy didn't do it, or do we have a chazoka that a guy doesn't do it, or that a guy does do it? What's the halacha? I think that we can derive this from a braita. Because the braita says like this. Hakol ne'amanim al-biur chametz, afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu kitanim. So it says over here that people that do not have ne'emanut, they can't testify. So nashim, avadim, kitanim, no reliability in testimony. We believe them to say that this house is actually bin boduk. Okay, so why do we believe that? My time, Amham, they ask Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, what does this imply to you? To me, it implies that basically there is a chazaka on this house that it was baduk, and the kasavar, hakol chaverim heim eitzel bedikas chametz. So even though, now this is mashba, by the way, and we actually bring this halacha, if somebody really is a chaver, not an Amma Aretz that we're saying is considered to be a chaver, but if someone really is a chaver, then it's a given that he is going to be concerned about the bedikas chametz, and he will, same way he would not sell you produce that is not meisered, and say to himself, it's okay, the buyer will take off the meiser, he will not give you a house that is not boduk, and say the renter is going to be boduk. So that's a given. Now the question is that true about just a normal guy who's not a chaver? So suppose this guy's an Amma Aretz. So if you're telling me that I can believe anybody, so then you're saying that everybody is basically, since it's such a one-time chashuva mitzvah, everybody takes it very seriously, and they get the same chashivas as a chaver would when it comes to maestros. So, I mean, of course, that leads to the obvious question. So how could the Gemara think such a thing? What was the excuse for needing these people to say anything, right? I mean, I don't understand. If it's cheskas or buttocks, then who cares about their being believed? I don't need them. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, why don't you just say cheskas or buttock? Fine, but forget about that question. But what does it mean that they're believed? They're not believed. We're pretending to believe them. We're really trusting the cheskas or buttocks. What is Reb Nachman saying? So Tosfos says that the Gemara assumes at this point that the idea is that initially we said, why not just ask? Okay, so that's because a suffix that is efshir levarer, you ask, fine. You don't go looking for how do I proceed if you can get the data. This case is talking about, and this brisa, is the guy is in town. And these kids or these women are saying, it's baruch. And the question is, do I even have to be Mavar the Suffolk? That's the way the Gemara understands this now. So Reb Nachman is saying, you don't even have to be Mavar the Suffolk because it must be that there's a Chazaka. Because look, when it comes to Meiser, what's the din of a Chaver? The Tanya. Chaver shemet v'niach miguram alayah perot. A guy dies, and we find him, and he's known to be very makbid. He's a Chaver, it was Makabo Chaveros, very makbid on taking off Meiser. And he had just brought in all of his stuff into this storehouse, then even if it was just B'nai Yoman, it had just been brought in that day, you don't have to worry about it. And definitely Meiser was taken off, because certainly a chaver would never drop dead without taking off Meiser first, in which case you can assume that it was Meiser. Then the same thing would be true over here. If everyone is a chaver, then they certainly would not have rented you that house without making sure that it was Bodek of the Chometz. I don't get it, says the Gemara. How do you know that this is how to read the Braisa? Maybe what the Braisa is saying is that just the opposite. If you have the testimony of these people, then you don't have to do the Bedika. But if it wouldn't be the testimony of these people, you would have to do Bedika, which basically tells you the exact opposite, that you do not have a Cheskas Chover, and that it's not assumed that Cheskas or Bodek. Well, how could that be, says the Gemara? These aren't people that have nemanis to testify. So why would I be believing them? It must be because of a chazaka. Oh, come on, man. If it's because of a chazaka, so then why are you saying everyone is believed? I call nemanim. Just say, Abayit is becheskas bodek on the Abasar. Kol abatim becheskas bedukim barabasar. That's what it should have said, mi boile, right? So obviously the Gemara, for some reason, this Braita is saying that children are believed, okay? But wait a minute. I mean, let's be reasonable. Elamai, what are you saying? That because a child says we're going to believe, and that what? If not, so then you should have come up with exactly the opposite conclusion. I mean, don't tell me you're just getting coming out of it. Tell me, Tifshabin Eide Ein Cheskas Bodek, how come we can't use that as a Raya, but a Raya in the opposite direction? You can't learn anything from the Braisa. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because I could tell you that maybe normally Cheskas HaBodek, okay? No children telling anything, no women telling anything, it's still Cheskas HaBodek. But we're talking about a special case over here in which we would need to have their testimony, and their testimony would be acceptable. Now, how is that? Well, we have every reason to assume that there was no bedika. That's what mursak means. We don't know for a fact, but we know that the guy himself wasn't in town, or he was called away suddenly before the zman of the bedika, and he wasn't around. So we know that we have every right to assume that it wasn't bodek. We should tell the guy to be bodek. Now come along these kids, and they say, we did do the bedika ourselves. So the chiddush of the braisa is that ma detema lo lehim nunei rabbanan. You might have thought we don't believe them because they're not suitable for testimony. And here is where we finally see for the first time in the Gemara that midiraisa, there is certainly no need to get rid of your chometz. It would be enough just to be mevatel your chometz. That means that the entire mitzvah over here of doing the actual bedika is really only a derabbanan. Well, he knew Rabbanan bit Rabbanan. So Rabbanan believed these people in an issue which is the Rabbanan. Now, gentlemen, this raises some serious considerations. Because, look, if we've already defined the case as being the case where these people are saying that they themselves did it, then we're not talking about testimony. Remember, there's a completely different din of the nemanis of somebody who has biyodo to do something. I mean, I understand. Do you believe your wife about whether she's a nida or not? Do you believe her about whether she koshered the chicken? I mean, obviously. So what are you going to say? But, I mean, she's not kosher for edus? That's ridiculous. So, I mean, always we're going to believe someone, anybody that is biyado, he did it, and he says he did it, so he did it, right? So Tosis explains that the only point over here is that because of the extreme difficulty of doing Bedikas Chometz correctly, and the fact that it's not something for lazy people and someone who's trying to get through the mitzvah quickly, because, okay, you know, fine, I opened up the drawer and I looked in, you know, do I really have to take the stuff out of the drawer? I mean, I moved it around a little bit, you know. I sort of looked under the bed, but I moved the bed, I mean, so I could see better, you know. And as the Yerushalmi, do not say this to your wife, but as the Yerushalmi puts it, Nashim Atzlaniote, and women are always looking for shortcuts. So, although it's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't know, nowadays the women do a better job than the men, as far as I can see. But in any event, so we would have thought that under the circumstances, we don't consider it to be biyode, and we're asking too much to say, believe a kid or believe a woman. And because of that, We needed to have this braita to tell me that, in fact, they are ne'emanim. But only because him knew the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. The Rabbanan decided that that's all that they're asking. So that would mean, okay, now we do not know, remember exactly why we're saying bitul be'alma esagi. Remember, we have a major machlokas about that. According to Rashi, it's because the concept of bitul is the word tashbitu means something that is done in your mind, not something, it's talking about the result. It's talking about make it not there. What is it supposed to be, wave a magic wand? I mean, why doesn't it tell you to get rid of it? So tashbitu, the very word, says Rashi, is a ridiculous word if it's not referring to a state of mind. Masha Inkein Tosfos says, look, later on we're going to find that the Gemara considers the word tashbitu to be nogea burning. And we talk about hashbatat chametz has got to mean to burn the chametz if you think that's what the word means. So how does Rashi come at saying that the word means something in your mind? Tosis, therefore, understands that the idea of why bitul would help is not because the Torah said bitul would help, but because of the fact that if you are mevatalit, you're basically being mafkirit, and therefore it's not yours. And since the Torah was only makbid on your chametz, which said the which we're going to be medayik later on, since it isn't yours, so therefore it would be enough, but not because there's some kind of new mitzvah of bitul chametz. Fine, this is a very profound difference in how to understand the entire sugya. Iboyelohu. So now my question is like this. Hamaskir bayit lechaveiro, what would be if somebody rented a house and the guy was assuming that it was baduk? And then he comes, he arrives, Erev Pesach, oh, heck, there's chametz all over the place. Never mind, I'm going to a different hotel. So can he pull out? What's the din? Is it considered to be a mekach ta'ut or not? Now, this is, again, over here, big machlokas about whether it was a verbal stipulation. Was it a verbal mention, a stipulation? I mean, it's actually a t'nai. It seems pretty obvious that if somebody makes a condition and you don't keep the condition, that conditions are a real base to a transaction. I mean, that's worse than just saying it's a mekach ta'ut. That is, it never took place, right? So there are some who hold that in this particular event, even a stipulation wouldn't have been taken seriously as a stipulation. We'll see why that would be possible. But most shitas understand it to mean an assumptive stipulation, because somebody's coming into a house on Erev Pesach, so the assumption is that he figured he was getting a clean house for Pesach, but it wasn't necessarily stipulated as part of the contract. So what would be the din? Do we view it as a standard mekach ta'ut, which you would think so, or do we say that because of the fact that the bottom line is that people really like to do a mitzvah if they have an opportunity, what they end up saying is, ah, the heck with it, you know, it'll be my mitzvah, so the jerk didn't do it, you know. So then if that would be the case, he really wouldn't have pulled out. He's only pulling out because he got a better deal at a hotel or he doesn't like the house for some other reason. And he's using this as an excuse. So how do we look at it? It's for sure in a place where you don't add money to get things bought. Like everybody does it on their own. So over there, we certainly assume that when a person finds out that he's got an extra mitzvah to do, he may say, ah, I got no time for this. But the bottom line is, nechale le'inish l'kiyumi mitzvah begufe. The person is ultimately happy that he's going to be called upon to do the mitzvah. And he's not going to say, ugh, I don't want to do the mitzvah. I'm sorry, I ever got into the deal. I want to pull out the deal. Yeah, he may be lazy, but he's not that lazy. But I'm saying, says Abaye, I hold that even if it's a location where nobody does the thing themselves, they hire a cleaning crew and their special cleaning crews with signs up all over, we do the bedikah best, and so on. And therefore, this is nogea, a loss of money, but it's not going to ultimately make a difference for you and your personal mitzvah. Even in that place, I say, the guy is not really regretting that he ever entered the deal, because nechale leinish l'kiyumi mitzvah b'mamone, a person is happy, even if he's got to pay for it, that it should be his mitzvah.